I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 6. Keith, just a heads up, I do not have the, so you're in charge. Thank you. Romans chapter 6. Let me read the first 14 verses. Follow along. In my Bible, it's entitled, Dead to Sin, Alive in Christ. What shall we say then? Speaking of God's grace found in chapter 5. Should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of His Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our own self was crucified with Him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, we cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, but you are not under law, but under grace. The first piece of that writing speaks of the baptism. And this morning I want to speak on the identity of Christians. And one of the pieces of our identity certainly is surrendering our life to Christ, but a piece of that is the element of baptism. Baptism. Identity. Our identity is important to us. Most of us, probably all of us here today, have a birth certificate. My birth certificate would give you some very basic information about my birth. It would give you, the height and weight. It would give you several of the witnesses that were present at my birth. Obviously, my mother was there. But it would list also the doctor, and I believe my dad's signature is on there as well. Today, I have a driver's license. On there is an up-to-date picture of me. And it just gives the officer a little more information about me when he says, "May I see your driver's license?" We have an identity. Personality tests. I've taken several in my life. I'm a chaplain with a company that several years ago, they sent all of their employees through a personality analysis. And when you walk into their office area, on each cubicle, there's a plaque or there's a card with their name in bold letters, and then it gives you their personality types. You know, they're a doer, they're an encourager, maybe they're critical thinkers, you know, different personality traits that are there. Identifiers, even in the spiritual realm. Identifiers. Spiritual gifts. Do you know what your spiritual gifting is? Paul lists spiritual gifts in the realm of Galatians chapter 5. But there are also other spiritual giftings that help identify you and me as Christians to the world. Maybe it's your positive conversation. Maybe you have the gift of evangelism and you're always talking about God and wanting others to join you in that journey. Maybe it's a spirit of discernment. Or maybe you're an encourager or you're a helper. There's a big difference between an encourager and a helper. If there was something heavy in front of Kevin and he was attempting to lift it as an encourager, I would speak words of encouragement. Yes, Kevin, you can do that. I know you can. I've seen the muscles in your arm. You've done that before. You can do it. Now, Kevin, get down there and do that. You can do that. That's an encourager. A helper would come over and say, hey, Kevin, let me give you a hand. Let me give you a hand. Big difference between spiritual gifting of encouragement and helping. Well, identity. Identity. It's something that many books have been written on. Identifying yourself. Who are you? Some people experience an identity crisis or just trying to figure out who they are. And all too often, when we try to figure out who we are, we try to identify ourselves to who we are using the guidelines, using the parameters that the world would give us. In Romans chapter 6, though, Paul points us somewhere else. Paul calls all believers to remember their baptism. Remember their baptism. And I don't know if you've been baptized or not, but this morning's message is speaking to this element of baptism. Baptism. Paul proclaims in the passage that we just read, That baptism into the body of Jesus Christ is for all believers. You say you believe in Jesus Christ. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. You believe that He is the Messiah. It's an act of grace on God's part. Baptism. It's identifying ourselves as belonging to God. Yes, baptism is symbolism, but it's a very important identifier in the life of anyone who claims to be a follower of Christ. When asked who I am, I will say, I'm Tony. And then some people will look at me and say, well, Tony, and they're looking for more information. And I'll say, Tony Freeburg. Well, baptism is a part of our Christian identity as well. I would have to say that I've never responded to that, well, who are you? I've never said I'm a baptized believer of Christ. I don't do that. Maybe we should start doing that. Put that right out there in front of them first. But we begin with our names. But anyway, Lent, this 40 days, 40 days plus Sundays, gives us an opportunity to remember our identity in Christ. Now let me just say something about Lent. Lent is a man-made event. I got that. So is Christmas. But we celebrate a lot of different holidays which are on the calendar just because they're there. Somebody in the congregation had a birthday this week. I don't know, this is a personal question, but does having a birthday really change your day? I'd say I still enjoy having a birthday. I hope you still enjoy having birthdays. But Lent, just like Christmas, just like Advent, anything, gives us as the church, those of us who say we believe in Jesus Christ, the opportunity to really focus on the elements of what it is to be a follower of Christ. We, not being a liturgical high church, we don't embrace all of the elements that other denominations, other churches embrace when it comes to Lent. But I will say to anyone who proclaims to be a follower of Christ, we should seize every opportunity to read more Scripture, to let the Holy Spirit speak to us, to say, God, hey, let's focus on Easter. Let's focus on Christ, your Son. So it's Lent. And so Lent gives us this opportunity to remember a piece of it, remembering our identity in Christ. Lent and even Easter has meaning only because we believe in Jesus. We believe, we trust. Remember, believe is in trusting in Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus, you don't trust Jesus, then Christmas means nothing to you. Easter means nothing to you. Good Friday has no value. But for those of us who embrace Easter, we do it because we believe, we trust in Jesus. So in Paul's writing here, in Romans chapter 6, he speaks of our identity in Christ. And the part that baptism speaks about who we are. Who are you? Who are you in Christ? Baptism does two things. We are identified with the death of Christ. And then baptism also unites us in the resurrection of Christ. It's a mystical thing. I'll say that to you right up front. Do we totally understand what Paul is writing here? No. But yet I've experienced it, and I trust that you've experienced it. And so in experiencing it, I say, yeah, I know what it is. I know what it is. I believe in it. I trust it. I trust in Jesus. So baptism, this act involving water, you, somebody else, friends, family, celebrating, has meaning. It has deep meaning to us. It is an anchor point for us. The death that Christ experienced, going under the water is a symbolism of that. Coming up out of the water is also a symbolism of His resurrection. It is a practical event in your life and my life which says I am united with Christ in His death and in His resurrection. It's a critical element in the statement that I believe, I trust in Jesus Christ. And baptism certainly involves a willing person, you, me, the element of water. And we can debate the submersion or the sprinkling or whatever. But it involves water. It involves an elder of the church or someone to help you with that process. And then certainly a circle of friends to celebrate the event with you. Jesus was baptized at the beginning of His public ministry. It's recorded for us in the Gospels. This was a public display of His joining the mission that His Heavenly Father had called Him on. His submission to His Heavenly Father had taken place from His birth. But at that particular point with John the Baptist, Jesus was saying to the crowd, He was saying to Himself, and He was saying to His Heavenly Father, I'm yours. I'm yours. In the Church of the Nazarene, we do not believe that baptism is the key element of your salvation. That's your confessing, that's your repenting of sin. But baptism is the symbol of coming and yielding to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus' baptism forever cemented His will to the will of His Father. It identified Him as the Son of God. God the Father said, "This is My Son." God identified Jesus as His Son. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove. The Holy Spirit was there. God the Father was there. Jesus obviously was there. The Trinity was there present. John the Baptist gave testimony to Jesus' identity as the Messiah. And the crowd was the witness celebrating this event that I'm sure that none of them really knew the potential or the ramifications, what it meant to the world. Baptism is a picture of our dying to sin. Dying to sin. It is a great picture of a person. I like the submersion. I tried to find the picture of Sharon's baptism, and I couldn't find it on my computer. Otherwise, I would have shown it to you. It might be the only picture I have of actual baptism. Somebody took a picture of you that day being baptized. But it's a great picture of somebody being submersed, going down under the water, and then coming up. The washing. Now, it's a symbol. Okay? There was no power in that water. But it's a great symbol of what happens in our life when we yield to Jesus Christ. It is a great picture of dying to self. I will say self, but I will say self is sin. If self is your God, well, that's sin. And often in my readings and in speaking, we talk about the sin of self, and we use self, but it is really an element of sin. It is sin. So it is a great picture of being washed clean. In baptism, we often read scripture associated with it, a little testimony by someone being baptized, speaking of their confessing, their repenting, dying to sin. Baptism is a symbol of our death, not a physical death, but to sin. God, I'm making a commitment to you. We're saying that our lives will be lived in obedience to loving God and loving others. When I die to sin, what will fill the void? What will fill the void of the time that I used to spend in sin, in the void of my life? I'm going to say two things: God and others. God and others. I'm giving up a life of sin. I'm dead to those activities. I'm dead to those conversations. God will fill that void. And then my love for others. My new spirit life will be consumed with God and others. What consumes your time? Is it self? I pray not. For a believer in Jesus Christ, someone who is dead to self, dead to sin, will focus on God, our Heavenly Father, and he will then focus on loving others. And because my spirit life is connected to my physical activities, I don't have two beings, one a spiritual being and one a physical. They are connected. That's me. What you see is me, but I have a spirit. I have a soul. I become a doer of God's Word, not a hearer only. Just ask yourself the question. This is introspection. Ask yourself, this last week, when were you active in being a doer of God's Word? In the realm of loving God and in the realm of loving others. Just ask yourself that question. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Baptism says that I'm dying to self. I'm dying to sin. I no longer worship the idol that who I thought I was. And now I love God and I love others. While baptism is a symbol of dying to sin, it is very much a symbol of being alive in Christ. Alive in Christ. I'm going to be looking for things to do and be and say in the realm of loving God. And because Jesus has defeated death, Paul mentions it here very plainly. Because Jesus has defeated death in his resurrection, we don't need to fear death. You can't listen to the news without people talking about the fear of death. It's everywhere. Just Thursday morning, one of my chaplain visits, somebody called me aside and said, "Can I talk to you for a few minutes?" "Sure." So we go in an office. What was the conversation about? In front of me was a person, probably, I'm going to guess, late 50s, because you don't ask women how old they are. But having a conversation, what was the subject? death. Death. Every month I give a report back to the companies, the chaplain reports, and they ask, they want to know what conversations you have with people. Do you talk about their family? Do you talk about health? Do you talk about marriage? Do you talk about finances? There are about six different categories of things to talk about. One of them is death. Do you talk to somebody about death? And it is amazing when I sit at the end of the month, and I just did it the other day, and I have to turn in this report, how often that element of death appears in a conversation. Why? Because it's something we think about. It's something that's on our minds. How long do you want to live? Have you ever thought about that? The older I get, the more I think about it. Okay? But death, are you afraid of death? Are you afraid of death? For Christians, the answer should be an absolute no. I'm not afraid of death. I might think about the how and why of death, you know. But I'm not afraid of it. On the news this week, did you hear about the man? And I don't remember who he was, but he was supposedly an educated man. And he said that if we wanted to really take care of this virus thing that's coming into play, that the government should set up stations around where you could go get exposed to it. And it'd be mandatory that everybody be exposed to this new virus. And he said in the time span of 30 days, you would either be alive or dead. Do you remember that? Did you hear that on the news? Now that's from an economic, he was speaking from an economic standpoint, and he said, let's just get done with it. We're going to be in a crisis, or we're all going to be alive, and we're going to go like, whoo. Okay. And he probably lost his job. I don't know who he worked for, probably government somewhere. But anyway, just that was on the news this week. You know? But he got verbally beat up for that comment. Why? Because none of us want to address death. It's a big piece of our political realm. Death, healthcare. Having a conversation about death is not easy. It's not easy. I think my father lived on the edge of death for the last probably 15 years of his life. Mom and Dad would come and visit. Somewhere in the visit, my dad would want to talk about his funeral, his death, something. And I remember saying, Dad, we're not going to talk about that. Dad, no, it's not going to happen. I wanted to be positive. I wanted to encourage him to live. Okay? It's a hard conversation to have. Why? Because in some way, we are afraid of death. But in Christ Jesus, we have no reason to be afraid of death. Absolutely no reason to be afraid of death. Paul, in writing this passage of Scripture to us, I believe he is not speaking to us so much in the physical realm as he is in the spiritual realm. I am alive in Christ Jesus. I died to sin. I died to sin. I am alive in Christ. Is death going to happen to me? Absolutely, it's going to happen to me. It's happened to everybody who's ever been born. Some of the disciples, Stephen, we've been studying the book of Acts on Wednesday night. Death was a real thing when Paul was writing this. The physical death was a real thing. I believe Paul is saying to us, yeah, death is going to happen. But we're speaking about the spiritual. I am dead to sin. Verse 6 speaks of that element. I am dead to self-preservation. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be a good steward of the body that I've been given, take care of it. But my number one agenda is to be alive in Christ. We like our agendas. Me, I sit down and I work on my calendar for the week, and at home, Cynthia keeps those spiral notebook, and what are you doing on Tuesday? What are you doing on Wednesday? It's a great reminder. It helps keep me on track. But baptism is saying our believing in Jesus Christ, loving God, loving others, means that I'm okay if my week gets interrupted by others. Baptism is saying to God and your circle of friends and family, it's about you that I live. It's about you that I live. And for Paul and Stephen and the disciples and many others, it was living for God and God alone. God and God alone. Baptism certainly is a symbol of death. It's a symbol of resurrection. Being united with Christ. Do you want to be united with Christ? Okay. You know, you believe in Him today and you're united with His Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that gift is already given to us? You know, we put so much into heaven. Well, I want to get to heaven. I want to get to heaven. I think that we forget about today. We forget about living right now. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that is in the triune Godhead, is a promised gift to you right now. Isn't that amazing? What a thought. What a thought. We wait for heaven and we forget about living today. We think about that and we forget that today is given to us. What are you doing with today? What did you do with yesterday? Baptism is the symbol of our identity with Christ. And it certainly has those two competing, I'll say, ideals, death and resurrection. They kind of don't go together, but yet in this symbolism of baptism, it's there. We die to sin. It's a statement of our death to sin. And it's a symbol of new life in Christ. Christians, do you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior? You are dead to sin and alive in Christ. And I will not be, I must not be, controlled by self. We have no excuses for sin. No excuses. It's only confession. No excuses. Oh, we can make up excuses for each other. But yet there are no excuses going to please God, our Heavenly Father. I can't blame my mom. I can't blame my dad. I'd like to blame my brother, but I can't. Can't blame your circle of friends. Can't blame your job for sin in your life. You can't complain or you can't blame your rowdy neighbors. You can't even blame the crazy person that ran the stop sign in front of you. Okay? Oh, we'd like to blame other people for the sin in our lives, but we can't. And baptism is a symbol of that point in time where I said, okay, God, it's not about them. I own the sin of my life. You can take it from me. I died to it. I am dead to it. Please do it, Father. You yield to Him. Identity in Christ leads to freedom. Freedom to obey. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we spoke on the WWJD, what would Jesus do? And we changed that a little bit. We asked the question, what did Jesus do? And we talked about what Jesus did. Well, He suffered and died for you. He suffered and died for me. So that we, together, could experience the power of His resurrection. Which means that He has power, He has given that power over death and sin to each and every one of us. Oh yeah, for heaven. I like that picture. It's great. But it's about living today. It's living today. So I ask you the question, does your life reflect the freedom that you have in Christ to be obedient to Him? Do you have the power to do and be Christ to others? The transformation of your mind and soul begins with your surrendering to the Lordship of God, our Heavenly Father. Baptism is that event. It's a milestone marker in our life to go back and remember. We serve communion, and that's a remembrance of Jesus. Baptism is that moment in your life where you can go back and you say, I remember. Baptism unites us with Christ's death and resurrection. Death to sin, alive in Christ. Alive today. Are you alive in Christ today? Are you alive in Christ today? Christ's death and resurrection connects us to earth in a new way. I'm a new creature. I'm here. I'm a new creature. And heaven is my hope. Heaven is my goal. It's the here and now that we are to be concerned about. What are you doing with today? What are you doing with today in the realm of living a life symbolized in baptism to God, your Heavenly Father? A question you need to ask yourself. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you in this element of obedience. Several have asked about the element of baptism. And I really prefer the lake. So we're going to wait until probably June to have a baptismal service. If you want to go out this afternoon, we can certainly do that. But I would prefer to wait. All right? If you've never experienced baptism, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You can say that you've surrendered to Him, the Lordship of Jesus, but you've never been baptized. It's an important symbol to yourself, a point of remembrance. It's that birthday. It's that event that you can go back to and say, "I, by the power of God, our Heavenly Father, I died to sin. I'm alive in Christ." If you've never experienced that, let's have a conversation. We'll talk about it, and we'll have a baptismal service in June or July, okay? Are you alive in Christ? If you're alive in Christ, I want you to stand. By standing, you've just made a confession that you're alive in Christ. And I'm going to give it to you that you didn't do it because of peer pressure, because somebody's standing next to you. You did it on your own, that you are alive in Christ. You're alive in Christ, and if you're alive in Christ, you're dead to sin. Resurrection of Christ is your resurrection. It's given to each and every one of us to go and leave this place and to be Christ in this community, to be Christ to someone today. Father, the element of baptism is an amazing gift that you've given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. You gave us your Son, Emmanuel, God with us, as an example to us, a teacher. A great, great teacher, your Son. To demonstrate for us the power that you have in and through us when we confess, when we repent. Victory over death. It's nothing to fear. It's going to happen to all of us. The power of your resurrection. New life in Christ. A new life that I get to live today. Loving God and loving others. And then the hope of heaven. I believe in it. I believe that it's there waiting for me. So Father, today, let us remember your Son's baptism, yes. His death on the cross, yes. His resurrection. His ascension into heaven. Let your Holy Spirit move through us today as you give us opportunity to be Christ to someone. And Father, today we give you great praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go and be that blessing to someone.